Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We ask you to visit our sponsors and supporters and just tell them that you heard about them on the air. We would appreciate that. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And then, Pat, you said you're going to start off with a new gutsy thing.
I'm going to talk about basketball. How gutsy is that?
I don't know. Depends on how many balls we're talking about.
Ah, you gave it away. Dang you. Right now, every day we're hearing the cultural issue of whether transgender men, women, whatever, are going to play in the WNBA. And the coaches in the WNBA, like the one for Fever, was wearing the T-shirt that said trans kids are great or something, and they're all being interviewed, and they say, we believe in inclusion. Oh, you want men, biological men, who are pretending to be women to play in the WNBA, which will kick your butt. Today I read an article that said there's a French man in France playing in their WNBA.
Yes.
And when you look at the picture of him, he looks like a bodybuilder. He's all, you know,
buff.
Veins on the top of his arms and buff. And he just won the Player of the Year Award, the Woman of the Year Award, the Defense of the Year Award.
Yes.
He says, if the WNBA invites me, I'm happy to come. Although I'm 34 years old and old, but I'm still kicking everybody's butt over here.
And, you know, I think you're starting off, and the question is somebody going to define where it's allowed, or who, how many is allowed, whatever is allowed. So finish what you.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton have a talk show, and Clay Travis has put out. He's got two things going. He's put out a challenge. He will pay $10 million to whichever team wins a playoff between a boys' high school team and the WNBA. They're championship winner.
Of Clay and Travis's choice. Yes.
Well, their choice of high school.
Of high school.
But they're going to play the WNBA championship team. I forget what it's called. It starts with an L. He'll just pay the $10 million to whoever wins. Well, every once in a while, these WNBA teams, as did the women's soccer team, go and play against high school boys, and the soccer team lost. So our Olympic women's soccer team lost to high school boys, all right, to put things in perspective. So probably the WNBA will lose to them as well, which will be illuminating for all the people out there that say, well, the biological men, there's no problem with them playing in the. Why have a WNBA? The NBA subsidizes the WNBA because it doesn't make any money. And why continue to subsidize the WNBA if you're going to have men playing in the WNBA?
I have a question. Why does a trans male, and this is, I guess, a redundant question, because I think I know the answer. A trans male doesn't even try to play on a male basketball team. So he's already admitted that he's not good enough to play on a men's team.
No, a lot of these guys start on the men's team. Well, just like the swimmer
Leah
was
Thomas,
on the men's team.
Yeah. But he couldn't win anything.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, is they're no good on the men's team. They can't compete
right
at a man's level. So in order to win.
Right. And it's obvious to everybody that's paid attention to the issue, because you don't see any women trying to join men's team.
Well, then, and where are all the women's rights groups?
Now, going back to college women's basketball. Who was the coach of the Tennessee team? I can't remember her name.
I don't know.
But college women's basketball always brought in boys as the practice teams mm-hmm. against them mm-hmm. because it was always going to be harder than what they would face in a normal game.
Right, right. If you've watched high school boys basketball, they are super duper fun to watch. And they get on that court and they just run and run and run, because when I was in New Mexico, we used to go see the boys championship playoffs, and I was just amazed at how they play basketball. Now, I'm not a basketball aficionado. I don't watch it. Mm-hmm. but I've seen it before. But at any rate, go back to Buck and Travis. He also wants to buy a WNBA expansion team and staff it with all transgenders and have it play in the WNBA against all the women's teams to show them just how ridiculous this whole idea is, betting that they will beat every team they play, like 600-1, and illustrate for everybody that's doubting it that
the
this
absurdity.
Is a it's a ridiculous idea, and
somebody will sue them and say you can't do that. That's against my rights. You can't have a just all
but
transgender
where are the limit?
Team.
Where are the limits?
Right.
Well, whose rights? Where did the rights come from?
From God. But I'm saying that if
I don't think God is regulating the WNBA this year.
Not this year, anyway.
No, he's full up.
I wasn't even talking like that.
Does anybody remember way back, maybe in the 50s, 60s, maybe on through the 70s?
Oh, wait a minute. And by the way, his expansion team is going to be called the Nashville Balls.
Yes, we knew that. Yeah. But do you remember the Russian athletes, the Russian women athletes?
Yeah.
That were...
That had mustaches?
Yeah, that were beating everybody else because of their testosterone.
Doping. They were doping.
Yeah, their testosterone levels. I mean, didn't we learn from that that there are differences between the physique and the chemistry of men and women?
You don't even have to go that far back if it's doping you're talking about. What about Lance, what's his name, the bicyclist?
Armstrong.
Oh, Lance Armstrong. I mean, he made a fool of himself.
That's like within 10 years ago. Recent.
Hey, my memory is good for 10 years.
Well, even more recent than that, Leah Thomas was the swimmer.
Yeah.
Now that swimming is all over, is Leah a he, she, or a what?
It is still a she, it.
The biggest problem that I see with any of the trans stuff, and I think swimming specifically, is because of the locker room situation.
Yeah.
That these fully intact males are going into the female locker room and stripping naked and putting on a bathing suit with
and
girls.
Watching the women.
And true, and subjecting the women to that visual as well. That's the worst to me. That seems like sexual abuse.
Well, WNBA is specifically coming out and saying that's not a problem for the girls, even though the girls in high school or college and the women are saying, yes, it is. We object.
Where's their rights?
And I think the great enforcer right now on the fever, I guess, is Sophie Cunningham. Mm-hmm. And she is the one that spoke out that says, I don't want them in the locker room.
Yeah, the men don't belong in the locker room.
They do not belong in the locker room. She didn't go any further than that. She made that statement. She doesn't care how people act or whatever. They do not belong in my locker room.
And it was the lesbian co-owner of one of the teams that got in the girls' face that were saying, thank you, Sophie, for speaking up. And they had the signs. And there was a lesbian co-owner, and she got in their face and used profanity. And I hope Jesus loves everyone. Like, Jesus doesn't love you anymore because you don't agree with transgenders. I mean, the whole thing is just
absurd.
The first transgender man, because I refuse to call them transgender women, the first one that plays in the WNBA is going to be fun to watch. All the mewling and complaining and whining about how he's destroying the whole setup of the WNBA. But in answer to your question, what about the girls' rights? Right before Biden left office, his administration was changing Title IX to make it include transgender. So Title IX funds could go to teams that were allegedly women's sports but had transgenders. And Trump got in there in time to stop that rule.
Yes.
Before any funding actually happened.
Well, before the rule got passed.
Yeah.
It was in that stage where comments and all that stuff. So before it got passed, he stopped that.
So it got through the auto pen, but didn't get...
No, it didn't get to the auto pen.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, it didn't get to the auto pen. Thank God. Because Title IX would have screwed up a lot, not just this, women's basketball.
This used to be common sense, and now it has become political, and common sense has left the building.
Remember when Billie Jean King and...
Riggs, yeah.
What's his name?
Riggs. Yeah, Bobby Riggs.
Yeah.
Were to playing tennis.
And he won.
Right. And this was like 40 years ago.
Well, somebody called into Clay and Travis this afternoon while I was traveling here. I was traveling, not driving, to all you sovereign citizens. He said he thinks women don't understand the profound difference between male and female athletes because they're used to watching these movies where these 120-pound women are kicking and beating up men.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard that comment made before because here's this woman like Megan Fox in a leotard beating the crap out of, you know, a thug. And that's just not realistic.
No, it's not.
No.
But this used to be common sense.
Oh, speaking of common sense, Florida passed a law to make it illegal for children to be allowed into drag shows. And it was in the courts for a long time. And finally, the Court of Appeals came out and said, that law is constitutional. It's fine. So now children cannot be admitted to drag shows.
So what are they going to do about the Queen Story Hour at the library?
Well, it's going to have to stop.
Yeah.
Well, can only come in if you're over 50.
Well, you can't, and you can't bring the drag show to the minors.
Right. So it's going to stop all that.
Good.
Yeah, because they wrote the law not from an adult freedom of expression lens, but saving minors.
Good.
And that gives you a different section of law because saving minors from pornography is an easier battle to fight than whether it's free expression for drag queens to show their stuff in front of children.
So is this Florida only, though?
Yeah, it's Florida only.
Florida state law, yeah. Hopefully to get duplicated in other places.
Right.
Wow.
So maybe we all need to move to Florida. Seems like they're the only ones left with any common sense.
They're doing a good job. In fact, the population of Florida is greater than the population of New York City, and they spend less money
for the whole state than New York City spends. Yeah. I'm just going to start watching basketball when the Nashville Balls hit the circuit.
Folks, on that comment, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm tongue-tied.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We have a new attendee here, Diane.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Okay. Thank you for joining in.
Diane who?
Bauer.
Diane Bauer.
Mm-hmm. Diane Bauer.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of Dianes out there. Okay. That's okay. But there's only one Bauer.
Thank God. So I just got out of the Board of Election meeting, the Craven County Board of Election meeting. There was a lot of topics discussed. The agenda was really full. They still, because it was not unanimously decided on Sunday, Saturday voting, August 20th, everybody, they can go to Raleigh on August 20th. If you want to hear what happens, they will be going up in the morning time frame, because in the morning, they're just discussing date changes and what they're going to rule on.
That's a committee hearing.
Yes.
Yes.
And in the afternoon, they'll be doing the counties or whoever are changing voting sites, reducing or changing sites. So most likely we are number third on the docket, which it starts at 9, but they said last time the first two didn't show up, so they went at 9. So it's open to the public to go. So if you'd like to go.
And participate, because folks, for anybody that wants to go up to these committee hearings, sign up. Go and speak. Take your couple of minutes to speak. Organize your thoughts a little bit.
Yes.
But let them know the public's opinion.
Because you get a total for your area of 5 minutes. So you have to share the 5 minutes with whoever wants to speak. It's not just 5 minutes per person. We'll see what comes of that. So we know that all of the ballots are going out September 5th. We know early voting will start October 15th. To go to the 31st, but we don't know, are we doing two Saturdays? Are we doing a Saturday and a Sunday? So that's to be determined.
But the majority wants...
Only Saturdays. They want the two Saturdays. Historically, it's always been two Saturdays. And the last time they went up, it was ruled to stay with the two Saturdays and not do a Sunday. So we'll see what kind of comes about with that.
Well, I read this morning that the election integrity package that Stein is threatening to veto if it gets passed cut early voting down to 1 week.
Well, they're changing that. They're thinking instead of the 14 days or the, I'm trying to think, because they kind of touched on it very quickly. That they would then go down to like 10 or 12 days. So that's still to be determined. The House Bill 834 passed unanimously in the Senate and mostly in the House. So they're waiting on Stein, but they know that he'll probably pass that one. And that's 5 days to process provisional ballots.
After election.
So that this way it's not, you have to have it done at this time. Count the early voting prior to closing the polls. So they'll be able to start it at 2:00 and get through what they can get through. They're not allowed to discuss any of the findings. If they discuss a finding, it's a felony. So they all kind of know that that's kind of happening. And then they still have to wait till 7:30 on election day, and they will receive any ballots that they receive absentee up to 7:30 on election day voting. So they can get rid of the ones that they have already done, and they'll wait till 7:30, but then they can report a little bit quicker on those voting ballots.
Diane, what about the postmark ones? Are they going to receive ballots up to 5 days after?
I know if it's posted from what... Now, don't count this as law. If it's postmarked prior, then they can count them.
They wanted them to be counted up to 5 days after.
Well, you have to report now.
If it was postmarked.
Right, prior.
Right.
They have to hand in all of their voting tabulations by the Friday after
the Tuesday.
After the Tuesday of voting.
Which is 3 days, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of where that is at this point. There's another House bill
that is House Bill 958, and that's expected to be vetoed by the governor. They didn't go into the specifics on it, but that one they think the governor will veto. There, and I've been hearing about some other bills that came up to him that he's not going to even put a veto or do anything and let the time expire and it'll go into law. So he's not going to say, I voted for it. He can say, I didn't vote for it. So that's kind of where that's going. They said that the precinct officials with House Bill 834, precinct officials will always be able to be in while the counting is continuing, so they can see the process as well. There was, where is it? I was thinking about something else. On the printed ballots, when you go in, there are two new little boxes near the top to say one will be provisional, and they'll write POV, and it'll be in that box. So if somebody tries to slip it into the machine will reject it. So this way, if there's error, there won't be an error. And those then go to the Craven County office at the end, and then the director of the Craven County Board of Elections will be able to, she has a special code that overwrites that, then they'll be accepted there. So that this way we know really what's being counted and not slipped in undetected. I like to put it in a nice spin. They just, at the meeting, they rescinded a lot of policies that were outdated. So they looked through books, and there was a lot of policies that they made new policies for, but they didn't rescind the old policies. So if somebody went back in, they could say, well, you never rescinded or took those policies out. So that a lot of that meeting was rescinding a lot of the old policies to follow the state laws.
Cleaning up.
Right, which is great, because now you don't have to worry about being sued or anything.
What was discussed, or what's the status on cleaning up the voter rolls? Because I know that's in one of those House bills.
The election integrity package.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, so they sent out, a lot of people are sending out these vote things from this. I forgot the name of the place, but it's
in
like
Virginia, registered to vote.
And they have that here too, because I've gotten a couple and I've brought them to Susan's attention. I sent out an email to people who are in my precinct about it. And what they want you to do, yes. And so what they want you to do is they want you to go into the Ready to Vote, go to their website and fill out a form like, these people were not here. Let the state know that these people are not here. I also let Susan know so that if something comes through to her with these people voting, she has it on her list, the director. So they're keeping track of all this. So really go and answer these questions. You know, go on their websites and tell them, because they'll say, you know, it's time sensitive if the person doesn't live with you, because that's what I've gotten. I've gotten families who've moved to North Carolina whose children have never lived in North Carolina and vote in Virginia.
But those envelopes include a registration to vote.
Yes, and that's okay. That's okay if that person is living.
By the way, those three are from my nephew who never lived here.
Yeah, those aren't even for us.
Right, and he never lived here. So you go to Ready to Vote, because that's what they're trying to do in Craven County, is get these voter rolls cleaned. So go to Ready to Vote, say, person's never lived here, never been in this. There's a little website that you can go to. And then also let the state know, because you can go to the State Board of Election website and report that they're not on the voter roll here. And then you can let your county official know, I was sent this. This is the name of the person. This is that address. Never lived here. Not a voter.
And actually, that person does live within Craven County, but
just
not
a different
in this
address.
House.
Okay.
Yep.
So that can all get changed around.
Yep, yep.
So it's good to report these.
But most people aren't going to go through what you just said.
I know.
Because they got it in the mail and they said, this is not applicable, and throw it away.
And so the problem is then, What if it's a little nefarious and they, I love that word, and they fill out one and put it in? I mean, you know, that's my fear.
Yeah.
So if it comes about, report it to the county board of election, and then she'll send you to where you need to go, or she'll then send it up to the state as well.
Take
or
the
whatever.
Time. Take the time to help clean up the voter roll.
Clean up the voter roll. I mean, this is your responsibility. You know, as Americans, we only want Americans. We only want the right Americans voting in the right states. So
and live people.
Yes. And alive. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, that's a lot of the takeaway, and also buffer zones were really talked about at election sites. 25 feet for all sites for curbside and 50 feet for all entryways, main entryways. So that was a big discussion.
That's what it's been, isn't it?
It has been, but it kind of got
moved around a little
bit. Yeah, there was incidences and different. And so at the chief judge meetings, they're going to discuss with the chief judges, like, hey, that's also something you can look into.
So there's going to be a chief judge meeting? Just to my knowledge, there has never been just a chief judge
meeting. Well, I think it's chief and regular judge. I think there'll be, Susan is going to.
You mean in training? They'll
in training,
talk of it.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, because yeah, that is inclusive, judges and chief judges.
Right.
It's never been separate. Though I
right.
think it should be, because judges are required to do a whole lot more.
And there's going to be a whole lot more of accountability for these chief judges, where they're signing, they're taping. The process is going to be much more secure in Craven County.
And
I can only speak for Craven County.
You're talking about election judges, not judges.
No, election.
Okay.
Election.
Yeah,
poll judges,
specific.
Election judges.
Yeah,
thank you.
Specific.
Thank you for.
Yes,
so,
and we've heard Susan say that to try to make it more straightforward, so not a lot of ambiguity in there.
And that the chain of custody is really kept, you know, solid and secure, so that we know people aren't reopening or doing things. So I really appreciate what she has put in place and what she's putting in place. It'll make the chief judges work a little more, but I think it's better protection for us.
Now, are we doing drop boxes or anything like that? That's good.
No.
That's good.
So we are fortunate to have Susan.
Yes, Williams, yes, as our director. Oh.
Yes.
She's really excellent.
We were fortunate to have Melanie, and now we're fortunate to have Susan.
And things change, you know.
Yeah.
Times have changed, so we keep moving on and getting better.
Okay. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you want to take us in a different direction?
I do.
Okay.
I do, because I'm the home wrecker. I want to talk about Mom Donnie's grocery stores. His plan to open these government grocery stores, which we all know is going to be a failure, because you cannot get rid of the law of supply and demand.
No, let me add one more. A very, very expensive failure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to cost the taxpayers big bucks. Mm-hmm. His plan is to sell his goods in there for 30% lower than the going market rate. And so the talk shows were all talking about, I heard this a few days ago, we're all talking about how everybody's going to come from New Jersey, which is a 10-minute drive mm-hmm. from New York, and wipe out all the stuff in the store and take it back and sell it, you know, on the black market. So that apparently got Mom Donnie's attention. So he had a press conference this week to announce that you would have to have an ID to shop in there.
A picture ID.
To show that you were from New York. And it would be like a library card. And as somebody pointed out on a talk show, and how do you get a library card? You show your government ID. So that's kind of hypocritical. You know, you can shop in our grocery store with a library card so that you don't have to show your government ID. But you have to show your government ID to get the library card. Anyway, the press and the criticism came down like, you know, a load of bricks. So they came out with another press conference and said, we're not having the ID card.
So people,
we never said that.
So people from New Jersey can come in and wipe mm-hmm. us up.
Yes.
But I have a question. If he intends to have these grocery stores with things 30% lower than the going market rate, where does he think he's going to purchase that produce at 30% below the market
rate? He's not going to purchase it at 30%. He's going to purchase it at whatever the going rate is, and the taxpayers are going to pay the difference.
That's my point, because wholesale, the wholesale market cost is cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the grocery business, you only have a 1% to 2% profit margin.
Right. I'm just saying that they're subsidizing, the government taxpayer is going to be subsidizing the diff, about 30% discount. Right. They're still paying it. They're just not paying it at the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, this grocery store idea of his, they tried one in Kansas City. They tried a government-run grocery store, and it went broke. Naturally, as they are wont to do. And they had a picture of somebody shopping in one of them. The shelves were all empty. They had two little misshapen tomatoes in the produce aisle. That was it. And one of the problems with that government-run grocery store was that people went in there and shoplifted to the moon and back. And they had a bunch of homeless people that were out in front of the grocery store doing their homeless thing. And we all understand what that is. They had fights and whatever, and it kept going broke, and it was empty, and then they'd have to get more money. And they finally just gave up on it. But the real comparison has been to Venezuela's Maduro's grocery store chain. He started one when they went to socialism called Mercal, and it was supposed to be below the market rate. So you could buy a chicken at Mercal for like 700, whatever their thing is, but at the bodega, it was 1400. Well, you know, what eventually happens is there is no chicken at the Mercal. The only place you can get chicken is on the market, right? So Greg Gutfeld made the comment, in order for socialism to work, you have to rigorously regulate it. Mm-hmm. So what Maduro ended up doing is first you had to have the ID card. Then you couldn't buy diapers unless you brought a birth certificate or the actual baby with you. Then
that could
he tried
be a new business because you could rent babies.
Yeah, then yeah, that's capitalism for you. And then there was rationing, and you know, and they keep ratcheting up the regulation because otherwise anybody can go in there. And I predict that when the stores open, the first wave of people are going to go in there and buy the whole place out
or shoplift.
The other part of this too is if you open a grocery store selling things at 30% below what everyone else is paying, you're going to drive the other grocery stores out of business.
Well, that's the plan.
That's the point.
That's the plan.
And then you're going to hear the complaints about a grocery desert in a low-income neighborhood that the government has to come up with regulations to fix. I mean, it's a circle. It's the hamster on the exercise wheel.
And this is nothing new. We've seen this happen in other countries. It's not like Mamdani's is going to be different
and
than anybody else's.
We've seen it happen locally, not with a government program. But does anybody remember what happened when Walmart opened in Oriental and they drove out the grocery stores in Oriental and then Walmart left? Mm-hmm. And it took a while for Oriental to actually have a grocery store.
Yeah, well, that's capitalism. That's not socialism.
But, you know, we hosted some people that were seeking political asylum. This was back in Massachusetts, and they were from Ukraine. And the word that we got, and again, not exposing names or whatever, but the word that we got was, in order to get groceries, your whole family had to come to the grocery store to get enough food for each person that showed up.
Well, you know, I've said on this show before, I majored in Russian in college back in the 70s, and I made two trips to the Soviet Union. And one of the things that were two of the things that became obvious to me, one is they had places where the Russians bought groceries. And I went, there was one across from our barracks, and I went across there and looked. And they had this was in the summer. They had rotten potatoes and rotten cabbage in the show thing in front of the cash register. They didn't have much else in there. Then there's a whole set of grocery stores that only the party can shop in. And that's where there's all the delicacies, the chocolate.
The oligarchs go to.
Yes, the oligarchs. All those people, and you had to be an elite party member to shop there. Otherwise, you were stuck with these other places, and they didn't have a grocery store like we have. I went in one of them, and the sign said was meat. Miasa. That's it. You go in there, it's this little teeny room. There's a guy sitting there in a white coat with blood on it. And on this little teeny table in front of him is a piece of butcher paper with a piece of beef on it. And when my friend and I walked in, it was obvious back then that we were foreigners because of our dress. The Russians that were in there apparently negotiating with him for who was going to get that piece of beef, they all looked at us like, what are you doing here? You're busting in here. You're not supposed to be looking at this. And we were like, and left. So they had stores that would just say fish. It was summer. We didn't go in the fish store because we figured it was going to stink to high heaven. So we went in the meat, and then they'd have a store called bread. And so we went in the bread store, and they have forks in there so you can test the bread. And we didn't know what the forks were for. None of the bread's wrapped, right? So we're in there sticking the forks and all the bread. The Russians are looking at us like, who are these idiots? But when there was a movie that came out in the 70s with Robin Williams, and he's a Soviet circus performer, and he leaves the circus to escape to New York. And he's never been in an American grocery store. and he's staying with this black family. They send him to the grocery store. While they're at work, would you go to the grocery store and buy coffee? Sure, no problem. He goes to the grocery store. First of all, he's gobsmacked by this giant room full of food. Secondly, he comes home with no coffee. So when they get home from work, they go, well, did you buy the coffee? No, why not? I never had choices before. Because you go to the coffee aisle and there's all this coffee. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that is the perfect line that describes the difference between capitalism and socialism. One more comment. I'm teaching at ECU, and one year we had a visiting professor from Britain. And he was best friends with the guy, the Brit that was our department chair at the time. And I overheard him making fun of one of our grocery stores because they had four different kinds of toothpicks. He goes, who needs four different kinds of toothpicks? And I interrupted his conversation and said, it's called choices, dude. And that's what capitalism brings you, choices. You don't have a store that says meat. You know, you have an American grocery store with every, just like the soccer guys found out by going to Walmart and they'd hold up a bottle of ranch and go, it's bigger than my head.
And even at the grocery stores, they couldn't believe the amount of choices you have, even the breakfast cereal.
Yeah, I know, they were overawed by the breakfast cereal.
I mean, you know, and even just the amount of foods you get, the free refills you get,
the free bread.
Yeah, I mean, everything. You know, so capitalism is working. Like, why would you put an end to something that is working?
Because people want free stuff. They think they're getting something free.
It's free. It's never free.
No, of course not. So
nothing is ever free.
The taxpayers of New York are going to make up the difference for the 30% below. And who cares? Because we're sticking it to the rich people. He's still complaining about the rich people don't pay their fair share, even though if you do any economic research, you find out that the rich people pay more than 50% of the taxes.
That was proven. They were saying that in New York City.
Well, it's true everywhere.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, where he's at, that's what they're saying. And they're going to be moving out.
But yes. Mandami himself is rich.
Yeah, but he has his money in Uganda and other places that you can't call him rich because you can't.
He was living in a rent-subsidized apartment.
Yeah, he's never worked.
Hey, there was a socialist running for office. He's unopposed, so he will be taking up office in November. And in the meantime, he put up a GoFundMe so people could pay his rent and groceries until he starts his state senate payroll. And then somebody found out about it and ridiculed it in the paper, and so he took it down.
Such hypocrisy.
Yes, it is.
Well, part of the problem is our kids from kindergarten through college are not being taught to appreciate what we have because we have a capitalist system.
Well, they don't get that they won't have it. They won't have an iPhone. They won't have a new laptop. Mm. You know, they won't have any of this, you know, the newest tennis shoe. All of that stuff's going to go away. Mm-hmm. They don't get that.
But they're already getting us kind of inoculated to a sense of loss of freedom, i.e. what we went through with COVID.
Yes.
Freedom is an illusion that they allow us to have as long as we comply. The minute you don't comply, like with the vaccine, you got fired, you couldn't go to school, you couldn't go to church, you were ridiculed, you were ostracized and everything else. It's all, the freedom is definitely becoming an illusion. When we talk about being free, what really is freedom if you can't choose what your career is going to be, if you can't choose what school you're going to go to, if you can't choose what church you're going to go to, what is freedom?
Well, there was a lot of anger built up all across America about what happened to us during COVID. And I think that's one reason why Fauci has been so vilified with all of his taking the fifth. Because there's lots of stuff coming out now where we find out the government knew all along that the 6 feet apart and the face mask and just all that BS. Yeah. Didn't work.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Mm-hmm.
restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, where are you going to
I want to beat up Fauci now. since Fauci took the fifth 111 times, there's been endless articles and a discussion and analysis, legal analysis, cultural analysis about the effect of him taking the fifth so often, even about the color of his tie, the color of the carpet.
Yes. And I
just want to bring up an interview that took place on ESPN, just as an example of how far this has traveled, where Pat McAfee asked Aaron Rodgers, who was the guest, a story, and Rodgers says, "I'm going to take the fifth like that absolute coward Fauci." And everybody in the room laughed and cheered, because if you remember how much crap the press gave Aaron because he didn't take the shot, and they were on him, you know, all the time. And that's just one example. And he wouldn't let it go. He kept talking about Fauci. And I read an article this morning about a preference cascade, where once people start breaching that wall of he's the science and you can't criticize him.
Yep.
Once that wall gets breached, now all this information's coming out, thanks to Rand Paul, about how the government lied to us repeatedly, how Fauci lied to us repeatedly, how Deborah Birx lied to us repeatedly, scarf lady.
Mandy Cohn from North Carolina.
Lied to us repeatedly because it turns out the 6-foot clearance and wear that stupid mask and all that stuff never worked. They knew it didn't work. They lied to us anyway. It's like, watch us jack these people around. We can just make up anything we want and they have to do it.
We had to agree with it.
One of there were a lot of really sad things about that. And one of the saddest to me was when the frontline doctors came out and they understood how to cure COVID. And they were squelched because if there was a cure for COVID, you couldn't have the emergency vaccine approved.
That's right.
And some of them lost their licenses. They were banned from then Twitter.
That was Biden's administration and his CDC.
Yes. And that was, again, people died because of that, because they were not given the appropriate treatment.
Yeah, put them on the respirator. Give them
Remdesivir.
Whatever.
Which killed them.
Goes back to, since when does Big Pharma, unelected, unaccountable to the people, have the authority to dictate practices in the country? What the pharmaceutical companies did by saying, no, you can't use ivermectin, you have to use Remdesivir.
They didn't say that. The CDC said it.
The pharmaceutical companies were giving kickbacks to the hospitals for prescribing specific things, and remdesivir was
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the corruption was big pharma talking to the government behind the scenes, not the hospitals, the government, the CDC.
That's what I just said, Pat.
You said the hospitals. Mm-hmm.
The government was listening to the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies were dictating policy. I'm saying, since when does a company, a profit company, dictate governmental policy?
When Fauci makes money off of it.
What is interesting to me, having lived in Massachusetts forever, I am not a big fan of the Kennedy family. And generally speaking, I don't agree with their politics. But I am very impressed about what RFK Jr. is doing in terms of, number one, trying to get the garbage out of our food supply and trying to get some level of transparency going.
Well, as they say in sci-fi, he's an anomaly.
Yes.
That's why the rest of the Kennedys hate his guts.
Yes.
He's an outlier.
Yeah.
He is an outlier, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't even know how old he is. The man is in his 70s, and he's in better shape than most people in their 30s. But he is what we used to call a health nut.
Yes.
And he's sharing his health nut information with the country and talking about issues that, you know, what's in our food. A lot of the candy companies now are getting rid of some of the dyes. Some of the cereal companies have agreed to get some of the junk. If you look at a European box of Rice Krispies versus an American box of Rice Krispies, and you look at the ingredients, it's crazy. And at some point, this may have already happened, at some point, I'm waiting for him to go after the high fructose corn syrup.
Well, the Europeans that were here for soccer were, you know, gobsmacked by the cereal aisle. And one of the things that they kept bringing up was they'd take out a box of Fruit Loops and say, this is illegal in the EU because of the dyes.
Yes.
That's why you have all the different color Fruit Loops.
Right.
And so there were several series that fell in that category.
And he's also looking at the incidence. Why has the incidence of autism increased so drastically in the past 30 years? Are we doing?
Well, I think we should ask the Somalis.
Well,
the Somalis?
They're the ones running all those autism clinics.
The Learing Centers. But I do think, when you try, I mean, having worked with that population and working with pediatric neurologists, when you look at that population and people try to equate it to a vaccine, you can't. There's a DNA change in an autistic child that's kind of there at birth, but may not have been expressed until a certain age. And at that age, it's the same time when you're getting all your shots, which is why parents kind of equated it to, like, I got the shot, now my kid's autistic. It really isn't that. It's just that's when we were able to diagnose based on their age and look.
I would challenge that just based on what Kennedy is saying. Is he saying it's not the vaccine or an individual vaccine? It's
a combination.
When they combine them and they give them so close together. And that was the reason that they were looking at the increase in incidence, just because of the timing. Like, when we were growing up and get vaccinated, we had like 9 or 10 from birth to graduating high school. Now there's like 90.
There are more. However, I do think you had to be predisposed. There is a predisposition, because if you look at most of the children in America, they weren't showing up as, you know, with autistic characteristics.
But why is there so many more now than there ever was?
I think one, when I think about certain things, is parent age. Male age at having children, because as you look at men having children later on in life and women having children later on in life, there's changes that are happening to your ovaries, to your sperm, and there's different, you know, I don't know the word, geno changes, that I think at that point then you go, oh, look at the adult. There are, I think people get diagnosed a lot more. If you look at who's getting diagnosed and you look at their parent and looking up the line, they weren't diagnosing at my age range autistic people. They were saying, eh, a little quirky, a little this, he's a little strange. Oh, he's a little emotional. You know, not the norm. But when you start looking, you go, huh. Because when I look at people and I see children who are autistic or on the spectrum, which they don't like to say anymore, I always kind of leap back to the parent and started like looking at the parent and their behaviors and how they interact with others. And you could see a common little thread, but it was never diagnosed back then. So I do think that there's different
nature ages. Or nurture.
Yeah, but I, you know, and I do think there are things, contaminants out there. I'm not going to say definitely no, but I do think not getting vaccinated is starting the whole trend of now we have these diseases we didn't have. Look at the German measles are coming back. Like people don't want polio shot. Like
well, that's
all these
aliens. Aliens are bringing tuberculosis, smallpox. Well, measles.
And these are people who are not getting their children vaccinated. I'm very pro-vaccination, having been in the field and looking at children not getting vaccinated. And I just always tell people, you don't have to worry about your kid. If your kid is vaccinated, you don't have to worry about your kid going to school. It's that unvaccinated kid who you should worry about. Because parents go, oh, he's unvaccinated. I don't want my kid. No, your kid's vaccinated. You know, they'll get normal stuff.
You know, I want to add in, I am pro garden hose and dirt.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs to go out and play in the dirt and drink from the garden hose. And then I'm going to add, where's the challenge to the peanut allergy? When we grew up, I don't know anybody that had
a
peanut.
We were exposed to peanuts earlier than what they're exposing children.
Somebody's written this PhD paper that says don't give them peanuts, and now all of a sudden they're intolerant.
Now nobody can have peanut butter.
Well, they're intolerant. But I also thought like honey was always at two. Like you don't expose your kid to honey because it's raw and all that till after two. I get that with your immune system, but peanut butter. I don't think my parents ever thought about peanut. I didn't think, yeah, you.
But we're putting
peanut
up with the
butter
same,
all the time.
We're putting up with the same.
Took it to school.
Same garbage in the legislature.
Yes.
That's a polite word in the legislature right now. When they're voting on not allowing raw milk in the state of North Carolina, why? They're getting stupid.
Get them, Bob.
I want to go back to something Diane said about the fact that sometimes the timing of something may not be the result of what it looks like.
Right.
And I'm going to go back. My family has a fairly predominant history of celiac disease.
Which is?
It's a gluten problem.
Gluten.
The inability to digest gluten. And in one case, it was something from birth.
Mm-hmm.
But in all the other cases, it happened at a hormonal change. And it was something that was there in the genes that was triggered by something that was going on hormonally.
Correct.
Now, you could tie it up and say that in one case, it was a 12-year-old girl. In two other cases, it was women going through menopause. In another case, it was a man in his 50s. I mean, you know, and again, there are times when your body is going through changes and the genetics are going to matter.
And I agree with that, but I also think that we did a lot of combining of vaccines for convenience.
Yes, I agree with that.
And
too.
I think that that's what we need to go back and look at is
separating them.
Separating them, yes.
I mean, that would be.
Or the time between giving them, you know, not have that be so.
We need to look at all of that.
Right.
And I
we
think
need,
that's logical because then you can actually deduce.
Right.
You know, I'm very,
yes.
I like an analytical approach. So you know you're not giving all of them and then you can't pick out which one.
Right.
So if you did one at a time and do a study.
Right.
You know, take
right.
50 kids or like 150 kids and you give them each, you know, a time frame, like kind of how we'd had.
And there's vaccines that exist today that didn't exist
correct.
For us.
Remember
correct.
The scientific method. That's what you're
and
saying.
I love a scientific method.
Well, Bob and I remember in the military when they had the shotgun and they load that thing with five different vaccines and you had to stand in line and then wham in your arm with the five things. things, and the men were falling in the floor in the, from the needles, and the women were standing there going, what's wrong
with
that guy?
What's the matter with him? Folks, on that, I think we're going to have to end the show. But again, we've had a great time having you along with us. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Have a wonderful week. Please join us at the CCTA Business and Social Meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday each month, Moore's Old Time Barbecue on Dr. MLK Boulevard in New Bern, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Your presence and participation are greatly appreciated.